둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's a whole thing. Like, I have to put clothes on and...
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here. For checking out the episode, hit that subscribe button, of course. That way you can get all the interviews that I do sent to you every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, three a week to keep you up to date with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget also to give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired. That, of course, always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately. Just did a rewind with Derek Trucks. We had director Richard Linklater here, as well as actress Adria Ajana to talk about The Hitman that's out now on Netflix. Carly Pierce dropped by, as did Sal Volcano from Impractical Jokers, Brandi Carlile, Ani DeFranco, Maya Hawk. We talked about Maya's new record, Chaos Angel, Caleb Followell from Kings of Leon, Tadanobu Asano from Shogun. That's out right now. Carl Clemens Hopkins acting in Hacks on HBO. We had Joe Talbot from Idols. The cast of The Big Cigar, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, catching up with Mr. Mark Oliver Everett of the band Eels. They're back with a new album called Eels Time with an exclamation point. We're going to hear about him recently recovering from open-heart surgery after having to get a new aorta put in. Scary stuff. Though he does assure us that any songs about mortality on this LP predates the procedure. He's going to go on to reveal how the song Andy Run began during his teenage years to finally be finished some 40-odd years later. Writing, he wrote some of these songs with All-American Rejects lead singer Tyson Ritter. And we'll talk about his role in the Kate Beckinsale, Brian Cox movie, Prisoner's Daughter, and how that led to the record's closing number. All that and more, we're talking Eels Time. It's Kyle Meredith with E.
Hey.
So Eels Time. It is time for Eels Time. Back with new music again. I know last time we were talking Extreme Witchcraft and everything. And you just keep producing quality material. Over and over and over. This is a great record. I should throw the compliments. As fun as I always have with this one, I really am enjoying it.
Well, thank you. That's very nice to hear. I mean, after like 30 years, I figured it's finally Eels time. Our time has finally come.
That is one of those titles, I think. Is that just one of those, like, just call it Eels time? You know what is it?
Well, I had the song Time, and then I thought, oh, if I put an exclamation point on it, that's kind of a fun album title. And it'll mislead the public into thinking it's a fun party record, which the cover looks like.
But then they get that song Time right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning, they're like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for.
That's a beautiful song, and it's a beautiful music video too, watching that, the Gus Black directed. And it's these pictures, of course, of your father, and then of you, and of your son. And for that to set up what we're getting here, I mean, do you think of it, because I don't know if you think of it kind of in a linear way as we're sort of talking about here, but even with the video in mind, like, do you consider that as sort of setting up the album and what we are getting into thematically, I guess is what I'm asking.
I mean, to me, it's just one of the songs on the album. It's, you know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily an album about time, but then again, aren't they all? I guess they all are about time in the end, really. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a overarching theme to this album. For me, it's a collection of songs about things that were on my mind.
I mean, I think about time a lot. I also work on the radio, so time, but I think about time a lot.
I definitely think anyone who, as you get older, it's more and more on your mind because, simply because there's less available to you in the future. So you're hyper aware of that, you know.
You've actually given me one of my favorite quotes I think I've ever had in an interview. And I don't, I should have looked it up because I don't remember the verbatim, but it was somebody, your own demise is what lends to a lot of your creativity.
I said that?
Yeah, some version of that, but yeah.
It sounds like I'm deep.
I'm only saying that you're proving yourself true with this opening song, I guess.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it gave me that song, so there you go.
There you go. You talked about this online, but, you know, having a big medical scare too, open heart surgery, was
that's
it
all. An...
Yeah, right. Because let's see, what, to repair an aneurysm in your aorta, right?
Yeah, I had to get a new aorta. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's, you know, it is one of those things. Like, you hear people that have a big moment like that, and it's a big impact of their life. And some people, it's just not. It's just something that happened, and, you know, it's a good party story, but, you know, they move past it. Like, for you, do you find that had any kind of direct big influence on you know, these topics that you were writing about afterward?
Well, I made this record before I had the surgery, but I knew that the surgery was most likely in my future, so it was on my mind. It was a big ordeal for me because I have zero hospital experience. I've never been in the hospital. I just, you know, it's been a good run, you know, and then I just figured, like, well, now that it's time to do something at the hospital, let's make it a doozy. And I was in there for a week and had my heart stopped on the operating table. So it was pretty hardcore.
That's crazy. I mean, that's I know it happens every day, I'm sure, but that's,
yeah,
just to hear someone, you know, I verbalize it, like, that's insane. That's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real novelty for someone who's never spent a night in the hospital.
So you had this record before then, though, and you've, like, how many records do you have that you're sitting on?
Well, I mean, I just had the surgery, not, you know, at the end of this past year. So,
it was soon.
It was recent, yeah.
And I had in my head maybe that happened a year or two ago, and I was like, wait a second, that's a long time to sit on it. You're stockpiling over there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just recovered from the surgery. It took me a couple months, so, like, it was quite recent.
Well, I'll further on that question, though. Do you stockpile, like, is there still a vault of songs that you can pull from when it's time for an album? Say you're writing the songs, but you're like, oh, I'm a few short. What do I have in the past?
A little bit, but not a ton. I definitely have worked that way in the past, where I would stockpile, and some of the albums would be, you know, kind of the way Prince would do things like Sign of the Times, where it was like he was pulling from all these different unreleased albums and making a new thing. And, like, I've done that, and I do a little bit of that from album to album sometimes. But for the most part, no. Most of it has probably come out at this point. There's not, like, a ton of unreleased stuff.
But there is one song on here that predates a lot of songs, if I understand right, with Andy Runt, or at least some version of it.
Yes, I wrote that one when I was a teenager, and you know, I was writing tons of songs in my youth, and trying to get better at it, and I was always making these 4-track demos and trying to get better at production and that kind of thing. And my childhood friend Sean, who I've known so long, his older sister used to babysit me, and we're still friends, and he lives in Dublin now, and he has a bunch of my old demos from back then, and he'll occasionally like send me one to, you know, sometimes just to tease me because it's so bad, and in this case, I thought that's what he was doing. He was sending me another one just so I could hear how bad it was, and it was terrible. He said, "No, I think there's something here," you know. And I was like, "Yeah, whatever, crazy person." And then, unsolicited, sometime soon after that, he sent me a version he made in his studio in Dublin, and it was gorgeous. And I was like, "Wow, you were right. There is something underneath that. I never would have guessed." You know, the bones of the song were good enough to make something nice out of, and so that's how that came about.
Yeah. So how different is it? Like, I guess I'd love to know what he heard that you didn't.
Extremely. Like, my four track was just this terribly produced, I don't even know how to describe it, you know. It had like really bad kind of like 4-on-4 drum machine stuff and everything, and he turned it into just this, you know, like beautiful Brian Wilson-esque teenage symphony to God.
Are you able to connect with whatever you were writing about? Like, do you find that it might not even be important, but it, I feel like that would kind of be cool if you did, like that you felt a real connection to whatever you were talking about at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that's a little odd to me now is that it's the lyrics are the same. It's the lyrics of a teenager. It's not necessarily something I think the subject matter of it is, you know, something we can all identify with, being in that situation where someone is withholding from you emotionally or whatever.
But that can't be too different than, you know, singing Goodbye Cruel World or something from 30 years ago. I mean, I don't know if it's different for you, and I don't know how.
I mean, I can just apply, you know, the idea of And You Run to, you know, I have a 6-year-old boy who, if I say like, I love you or something, you're not going to get it back. You know, you say, I love you, and he'll say, okay.
Yeah. I get that one too. That's,
so I can still find a way to identify with my teenage lyrics.
You know? That's funny. Mine's 16 now. And it went from I love you to you too, to
Noted.
Unless he wants something, then he turns it on.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with E of Eels.
There's other cool things, you know, that you're talking about. You working with Tyson Ritter on this record, Tyson Ritter, All American Rejects, and which I love the story that you've told in the press about that you all didn't know each other when you were on DreamWorks together. And here you are all these years later. I was a fan of his band back in the day. But what do you get from him as a songwriting partner that you didn't already have?
Well, I mean, you can hear it all over these songs. You know, he's a huge part of them. And I wouldn't have guessed from hearing his band that we would be such natural collaborators. But he has this whole other side. When he asked me to collaborate on a song for a movie, I heard it. It wasn't at all what I expected. And I really clicked with it. And then I thought, like, you know, let's make some more music, you know. He's, you know, one of my favorite collaborators now. He's really got this weird creative side.
Yeah, he was one of those, you know, the band had its, like a lot of artists, you know, had a spotlight moment. And then he sort of, they went away, but I could tell that he was still working inside. And you know, it's like a Greg Alexander type of a character or something like that. You know, it's like, I couldn't tell he would, but every now and then he'll pop up and it'll be something like this. And it's an always interesting collaboration. Like, I don't know much about him, but I'm always impressed by these little moments like this when I see him come out.
Yeah, he's hyper creative.
What was the movie that you all did?
It was called Prisoner's Daughter with Brian Cox and Kate Beckinsale. And Tyson was in it also.
Right. I did see that clip that you posted about him slapping you around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Tyson beat me up as well. This is the first time one of my songwriter collaborators has beat me up on camera. Anyway, there's probably been a few times off camera.
I know you don't do the acting a lot, but every now and then you'll draw, like, how? Because, you know, there's what, the cameo in Ant-Man 3, Jogger with Dog.
Yes.
Like, how proactive are you with acting? Is that something that just falls into your lap, or do you, like...
Yeah, I'm not proactive at all. It just stuff that comes along once in a while. I would love to do more of it. I enjoy it because it's really fun to learn something and to, you know, like being in that show Love was a great experience for me because I learned so much about acting from all the other great actors in the show. I mean, all the other actors were great actors, not me. I'm not saying I was a great actor. I'm saying, like, I got better by learning from the great actors.
Like, do you find that, like, especially coming up in the music video generation of artists, like, was that helpful with acting?
I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt making a million videos over the years. It's obviously not the same thing. It's not that often that there's dialogue in our videos. I guess once in a while there is, but for the most part, it's good acting for the silent movie era.
You've got to react. I've got to believe you. You've got to take me out of it, right? Like, I've got to be able to whatever. But always enjoyed those videos.
Well, I'm just hoping that the talkies go away and the silent movies come back, and then I'll be a great actor. You damn talkies.
Damn talkies, they're fad. That's what I hear. That's what I read the trades. So Ant-Man 3, I mentioned that one, and there is that song Haunted Hero on here, which you said maybe might possibly have some inspiration there. Maybe like really though, it's like, is there any direct connection to the hero world and this song? Like, where does that come from?
I mean, that was in the back of my mind as I was just thinking about, like, a weird kind of fucked up superhero. That was in the back of my mind when I was doing that one.
I would think most heroes, if you were a superhero, like...
I was, you know, honestly, like, I'm not into superheroes. I was trying to make a superhero interesting in my mind by fucking him up.
It's like, you know, Deadpool, I guess. I have a kid as well, and he did. He grew up in, use that that word again, but the Marvel generation. Like, that was just part of the DNA of that, you know... class of youth. So I've seen it, and I share your one time I told him, and this is when I knew he started, you know, coming into his own, because he was talking about the new one, and I said, you know what's going to happen, right? Like, you know how this whole movie is going to play out. Like, it's the same script, it's just different, you know, different costumes or whatever, but it's exactly like a pro wrestling match. They use the same thing. The good guy's winning. Oh, no, the good guy's losing. And then the good guy comes back at the end.
Right, right.
And he just looks at me and goes, Dad, don't ruin my childhood.
Yeah, what are you thinking, man?
But made me think that's like, if you were a superhero, you're probably haunted. Like, Captain America is probably haunted, you know, because you've got to be a little messed up.
Anyone who's that motivated.
Right. It's such a good little record. The dreamy mood of we won't see her like again. Goldie, was there anything specific that inspired the Furries line?
That's Tyson's line. Don't blame me. Tyson is one of the only collaborators that I actually collaborate with some of the lyrics too. Like Norm, my usual collaborators over the years, I always do all the lyrics. But this is a rare case where he was very collaborative on some of the lyrics.
That's a fun one right there. It's too bad. I would have enjoyed.
Yeah, no, I have no furry experience. So far.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with E of Eels.
Lay with the Lambs, which is an interesting, because you were talking about the album in a non-linear way thematically, but it feels like bookends to me with Time and Lay with the Lambs, because Lay with the Lambs to me is one of these, like, and this is just how, you know, I took it in, but it's like, what if nothing? What if, you know, is this all there is? as the old song goes. That's you know, and like when you start on one thing and in here, it's that beautiful darkness that I love from you.
Lay with the Lambs is a little bit of an odd one because that was the second song that I collaborated with Tyson on, and it in our mind we were working on another song for the movie at the time, and so they used an Eel song in the movie to kind of be Brian Cox's character's theme song. And so I was thinking with this song, Lay with the Lambs, this could be Tyson's character's theme song, was the original idea. And that's why it's so dark, is because he's like a meth head, you know, he's Kate Beckinsale's ex-husband. He's not a great guy. And that's why the lyric is so dark and what it is. But then I decided I liked it so much, I decided to hijack it and make it an Eel song. So, but it's definitely not like an autobiographical thing about, you know, how I'm feeling in life right now.
I mean, that's good.
But I mean, there's definitely been times when I have felt like that, so I can identify with it, but it's not where I'm at now.
Yeah. I'm just saying, as a piece of art, as a piece of work, it works nicely in the context. That's where I'm coming from on that one.
Okay, great. I'm glad to hear that.
Even by complete accident, it works really nicely in the context.
Well, great. Well,
which Eel song did they use?
It was a new one called Man, I Keep Trying.
In my head, I just instantly started cycling through. It was like, ooh, I wonder what I would use.
I believe that's on the streamers, I think. Oh, no, it's on, we put it on our Best Of that just came out around Christmas time. Eel So Good.
It was a good Eel Christmas song, too, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, we played that a lot. Here at FBK, we played that a lot during the holiday.
Yeah, every artist worth his salt should have three Christmas songs in his catalog, and it took me this long to get the third one.
Yeah, and let me tell you, you're all the other two songs, like those are standards for us. Every year they get they are Christmas classics.
I was very excited to see that Elton John played it on his yearly Christmas playlist this year.
Nice. Yeah. Hopefully that does good for the mailbox money. Helps out a little bit, at least.
A little, probably. Yeah.
Eel's Time, this is a great record, and it's always a pleasure talking to you, E. Seriously, thank you so much for taking the time again.
Thanks, likewise, and I'll talk to you next time, I hope.
My thanks to E. The new Eel's record is called Eel's Time, with an exclamation point. Thanks to E, thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out. Three brand new interviews sent your way every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Again, don't forget to write a review, give a rating, always helps out. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Dido, Juliana Hatfield, The Breeders, The Residents, Les Claypool, Hours, Radiohead, Foo Fighters, U2, Killer Mike, Mount Joy, All Saints, Etta James, Lucinda Williams, and my interview with Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'll just pop up in the middle of your interview with Sebastian Bach or somebody. Okay, that's going to sound weird out of context.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.